Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, December 6, 2012. It's 3 p.m. and the City Council will come back to order from our recess from yesterday. How are you, Carla?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Can you please call the roll?
Leonard?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman? Adams?
Here. We are considering two council calendar items. One is a resolution, one is an ordinance. We will be voting on them next week together, and today we're going to hear testimony. We have some amendments that will be considered and hear presentation from staff. So if staff could come forward, that'll be making the presentation while I make a few opening remarks.
I read the titles.
Please.
Okay. Item 1408, adopt the recommendations of the Northwest District Parking Management Plan, final draft, dated June 2012. And create a Transportation Management Association for the district. Item 1409, create Northwest Parking Meter District and replace Associated Area Parking Permit Program.
After decades of valuable process and input from neighborhood residents and the Northwest Portland business community, the time has come to move forward with a parking management plan for Northwest Portland. And such, I'm bringing the draft to council for their consideration for first reading. Parking has been a toxic issue in Northwest for a long time. I believe the time has come for one of Portland's most beloved neighborhoods to move beyond these past conflicts so that everyone in the neighborhood can focus on a more productive future. The need to manage parking in Northwest Portland is poised to become more urgent in the coming years, as the already dense neighborhood adds more residents and businesses. Although there are differing opinions on how best to manage the parking issue, there's widespread agreement that the status quo is not acceptable for many businesses or residents. We know from surveys conducted in recent years that 62% of Portland metro area residents avoid the district specifically because of the difficulty in finding a parking space. The plan I'm introducing to council this afternoon is a very basic parking management plan that represents the best practices for on-street parking management, and the best practices not just looking at national best practices, but our own best practices locally as well. It will alleviate the congestion in the neighborhood caused by commuters using the free on-street spaces as a park and ride to catch transit to other destinations in the central city. It will facilitate vehicle turnover and the busy retail spines of the district by implementing paid parking meters on Northwest 21st and 23rd. This plan will make it easier for visitors, residents, and workers in the district to find a parking space without circling endlessly in the search for a space by creating turnover and chasing out park and rider abusers. I'm also pleased to announce today that thanks to these letters of intent signed by the Metropolitan Learning Center, Superintendent Carol Smith, by the Good Samaritan Medical Center, signed by their facilities director, and by the owner of the Flanders Professional Building Parking, that we have signed up letters of intent to provide auxiliary parking for businesses upwards of 200 spots. 200 spots of the 600 spots of off-street parking called for in structures that we've been able to achieve. They're assuming that this plan will move forward, and if this plan does move forward, I think that we will find additional spots from additional property owners around the district. The current plan was developed with the assistance of a stakeholder committee, but we also had public forums, and we took a lot of comments through the normal channels of communication. And although perceived by many to be controversial, the plan is based on recommendations that you'll see from the staff report are very fact-based, and they seek the win-win of offering a great quality of life for the residents that live there and a great opportunity for businesses of all sizes and all types and service organizations to succeed. The City of Portland has used parking meters for 73 years to help manage on-street parking, and it is a basic function and decision of local government and this city council. After decades of study and input, it's time for solutions. With that, I'd like to turn to
Bill Hoffman.
Mr. Hoffman.
Hi, Mr. Mayor, members of City Council. I'm Bill Hoffman with the Office of Transportation. I'd like to introduce Rick Williams and Eric Hovey, who are our consultants on the project. I'd also like to introduce Katya Dillman and Casey Ogden, who are sitting behind me, who were co-project managers for this.
Well, you might want to move the microphone over.
I'm sorry. The presentation today is broken into two pieces. Eric Hovey is going to start. Eric is an urban economist, and Eric is going to provide some of the demographic and economic and social context for parking in the Northwest District. And then Rick Williams is going to walk us through what the primary elements are of the parking plan. After that, we're happy to answer questions, and I just wanted to flag that both Eric and Rick are going to need to leave before probably all the testimony is completed, so that if there are questions for them, it would be ideal to ask them after their presentations. So with that, I think, Eric?
Thank you, and good afternoon, Mayor and Council. I'm going to, as Bill mentioned.
For the record, sir.
Oh, yes, Eric Hovey, economic consultant, E.D. Hovey & Company. And my job here really is to kind of set a broader context, and then I'll be followed by Rick Williams, who will give more of the details and specifics of the plan proposal that is before you. As I'm sure most of us in the room are well aware, this has been a project long in process, going back to the Northwest District Plan and really even before that. By council resolution in 2009, there was direction to move forward to create a meter and permit district, establish meter fees, and create a transportation and parking management association with revenue allocation plan. So that was really kind of the basis from which we began our work. A couple of other just thoughts in terms of parameters for the work that was done. Second was to build upon the Northwest District plan policy number 4 and the Northwest Portland on-street parking plan, the concept plan, to use that as a starting point for further refinement, and also to build on prior agreements, but at the same time begin to respond to both the way that parking needs have changed in the district and the way that they appear to be changing into the future. A little bit more context in terms of our work, looking at economic indicators and the both economic vitality and neighborhood vitality of the area, we were really charged with assessing this from several different perspectives, context of what's the business profile, what works in the district, what doesn't, economic performance, what are the characteristics of residents in the neighborhood, how does the neighborhood stand up in terms of community livability and district vitality, and to what degree and in what ways does parking influence this? As I mentioned, compared to the Northwest District Plan, the parking district boundaries were expanded with the concurrence of the Stakeholders Advisory Committee. We did some initial briefings with a plan core group going back to the spring of 2010. The Stakeholders Advisory Committee was formed in midsummer of 2010, and that was followed by a long process, both talking about economic factors and moving from there into details of the parking plan. In the fall of 2011, as the mayor mentioned, we had briefings with neighborhood business groups and a public forum, and this is now on the table for your consideration. Let me talk a little bit about business indicators. Northwest District is home to about 13,200 jobs. That was as of 2008. That's more jobs than there are residents. 13,200 jobs, about 9,400 residents. Jobs actually increased during the period that we were looking at using Employment Department data from about 2003 to 2008, up by 11%. That was a period of fairly good robust economic growth. Average wages were also up during that period. The area actually tends to pay relatively high wages across the spectrum of all the uses. We did note that the Northwest District is clearly characterized by local vacancies, strong rents. It is obviously known not just as a local destination, but as a draw regionally for dining, specialty shopping. And there are also some real strengths in terms of other employment activities that are not retail or entertainment-oriented, business management services, health service being prime examples of that. The dining and the retail activity in this district probably as much as or more so than any other district in the city, really depends upon a combination of local neighborhood traffic as well as outside destination traffic. And that really kind of drives a lot of the kind of the considerations that go into thinking about how do you manage parking. There is some local convenience retailing. In some ways, it's underserved, for example, even with respect to grocery. The strongest parts of the core, and you'll see in a moment a little bit more detail, are with 23rd and 21st Streets that really have a clear regional identity and a brand. But with more activity now moving to the north end of the district, for example, exemplified by the Conway development and other mixed-use development that's happening there. Parking throughout the long discussions that have taken place throughout our work really emerges time and again as pivotal to a business clientele and to turnover. Wrong way here. We did do some assessment of kind of the overall kind of building mix and conditions. The kind of the strength of the retail area is exemplified in the red, or to the kind of on 21st and 23rd corridors to the south end of the district. There's a lot of, you can see a blue, which is primarily residential, and purple, which is other employment uses, including a Good Samaritan and other major employers in the district. That gives a sense of kind of the diversity of the district, but with in terms of where the real action is, especially in terms of parking demand, it tends to be in those 21st and 23rd core areas that serve customer uses, but are also immediately adjacent to neighborhood activity. Keep going off here. In terms of neighborhood activity, as I mentioned, about 9,400 residents. This tends to be a neighborhood that is relatively young resident profile, well-educated, primarily renters, although it's noted for its stable single-family homes. It's actually about 90% a renter-occupied, less diverse in some ways than the other parts of the city, with lower incomes, but paradoxically higher housing values, again, for that smaller share of the market that are homeowners. With city surveys that have been done throughout the citywide of resident satisfaction, Northwest and downtown tend to rate very well in terms of overall resident satisfaction with city services, for example. It's a different story when you come to parking with much lower levels of satisfaction than is the case elsewhere in the city. In fact, that's exemplified by the chart on the next page. The top chart, the left-hand side, shows the a percentage of Northwest and downtown residents that view parking, on-street parking, as very good or good, about 38% total, compared with citywide total of about 61%. If you look to the future, and we actually, this is really reflective of work that we did about a year and a half ago, and I think has really intensified since, close-in neighborhoods like the Northwest District have proven to fare better through the recession and now in the early phases of recovery than suburban counterparts, and I think that's exemplified by new development that is taking place, as well as the vitality of the existing businesses that even sustain themselves, although not without difficulty, through the recession. Nobody knows exactly what the new normal is, although it's beginning to be a little more clear with each passing day, but it seems to be favoring not only in Portland but elsewhere places that foster opportunities for young creatives, smaller scale development, organic change, green development, opportunities for mixed mode transit, for example, and work-live integration, which is very consistent with 20-minute neighborhoods in Portland. Let me talk a little bit about what we know about parking. Inventory work was done by DKS Associates. There are a little over 10,200 on- and off-street parking spaces within the district. That supply is fairly close to evenly split between on- and off-street parking, about 48% that's on-street and slightly more than half that is off-street parking. Of the on-street parking, again, there's a bit of a split shown in the lower graph between what is signed 1 to 2 hours, that's about 47% of the spaces, and then about 42% that are totally unrestricted in terms of time limits, and then other spaces with other varied time limits, some shorter and then some longer of up to 2 to 4 hours. The peak uses are all very high usage. You'll hear from Rick probably on this. The norm for when you need more parking is at about 85% utilization, and this district operates above that, with a peak commercial use at 90% or better, residential at 80% or better, and mixed use at close to over, again, the 85% factor. There's probably a little greater capacity for additional parking within the residential mixed-use areas, but not a lot and not much of the time. The other indicator of the strong demand in the district is the fact that violations in terms of meter or tickets tended to be above the industry standard of 5 to 7%, both in the commercial areas and especially on the east side of 21st with residential. These were the areas that were surveyed in terms of more detailed characteristics. And as I note, the survey areas to the east, both the retail and the residential, both tended to have higher demand and higher ratios of parking violations. Separate research was done by a DHM research, Davis Hibbets, that included both a phone survey of about 400 residents throughout the regions and about 130 intercept surveys. And it was aimed at getting a sense of both general characteristics of people that frequent the district and then honing in on specific questions about parking utilization and concerns. Not surprisingly, restaurant and shopping activities are the top draws. Also in the areas attractive for young adults with Multnomah and Washington County residents tending to visit more often than from elsewhere in the region. Most people stay anywhere from 1 to 3 hours. Those who stay longer, 2 to 3 hours, tend to be those who make multiple stops at different places of business during their stay there. The survey asked about what are the main issues for not visiting Northwest District more often, and the top of the list were issues related to parking, travel distance, and congestion. Interestingly enough, shown by the little piece of the graphic to the right, the vast majority of those surveyed, a little higher on those actually surveyed on the street, about 88% say that they actually park on the street, with a smaller proportion parking off street. Despite the perceptions, it is also interesting that most parkers are spending less than 5 minutes to find their space. Typically, it's within 2 blocks. Now, there is that minority that has a much greater difficulty at times finding parking. We took a look at economic value of parking. And we looked at it in terms of assessed value and business revenue in the district. I think the conclusion is you can look at it different ways. We came up with conclusions of values of anywhere from $200,000 to $360,000 per space. It's a commodity in short supply, probably as short supply as you'd find anywhere in the city. So no matter how measured, the limited parking really is associated with substantial economic value, and managing that is important to maintaining that value in the district. Some implications of all this for parking management are, first, that even with the recession and now the recovery that is getting a little stronger by the day, parking demand has continued strong and will only get stronger, especially as new development happens toward the what is now appearing to be the north end of the district and as the Conway development begins to come online. That will be offset potentially to some degree by the degree to which non-auto trip options can also be fostered. Which is one option, one activity that could happen through a transportation management association. Turnover of high demand and shared use of space, therefore, will then become much more critical to district vitality. Paid parking will help to encourage turnover. Parking issues are a good problem to have, but only if you can manage it well to make sure that you're meeting all both the customer and the resident needs of the district. Finally, we took a look at how the plan responds in terms of economic indicators and impacts to a range of the elements in the parking plan, both on-street supply and what may be possible through the Transportation and Parking Management Association. One thing I just would note about a TPMA is, based upon the Lloyd District experience and the inventory of area that would be parked here, there's the potential to generate about $500,000 in net revenue per year that would be really allocated through a district process to a transportation, parking, streetscape, and other improvements. With that, I'll stop and I'll pass it on to Rick.
Thanks. And we're going to switch seats here.
Yeah.
So I need to exit out, escape, and then go to your presentation.
All right. Mayor Adams and City Council, my name is Rick Williams. I'm the principal of Rick Williams Consulting, a parking and transportation demand management firm here in Portland. Thank you for the opportunity to present to you today. My job is to give you a framework of how the implementation elements and the strategic elements of the plan lay out. I want to go back just to reset the context where Eric started. Is the consultant team was asked by council resolution in 2009 to address some issues about parking, specifically in the context of the Northwest Parking Plan, the Northwest District Plan, to solve some problems. Our directive was to find a better way to manage on-street supply for residents, businesses, and visitors through the creation of a pay-to-park district. And so this plan attempts to answer that question and meet that council goal. Also, to better look at the district in terms of its management, to tailor time limits to encourage turnover, because turnover was seen as a problem. I think in the mayor's opening comments, he talked about the park and ride issue in the district. We have a lot of commuters parking in the districts. That's been substantiated by previous studies. And also to another element of this plan that Eric didn't talk about was to help to mitigate the impacts of what was PGE Park and now Geldwin Field where it's appropriate during events. And you'll see a slide on that here in a minute. Council asked us also to create a permit program that exempts residents and a certain number of employees from the pay-to-park limits, which then encourages, better encourages the transition to more and more employees in particular and residents as well into alternative modes like transit, biking, and walking. And also then a framework for establishing a transportation and parking management association. So that's what we're trying to address here. And then as a part of that, a parking recommend and develop a parking revenue allocation plan that directly goes along with the TPMA as to how to set priorities for transportation issues in the districts and then how to allocate resources to address those priorities. As you can see, there's several elements to the plan. What I'd like to do is walk through now each of those elements with you and how we address them in the context of a parking management plan. First is the boundary of the district. As Eric indicated, one of the recommendations was to expand the boundary of the plan. We initially began from Pettigrove South. Now the district parking meter and permit district extends to Thurman on the north, Burnside on the south, about 25th Avenue on the west, and the freeway on the, on the east, and the freeway on the east, 25th Avenue on the west, how is parking going to be formatted or laid out in the district? And I would say think in color. We tried to make it as simple as possible. As you can see, yellow indicates 90-minute parking. Blue indicates three-hour parking. The black area that you see there is the existing Zone K permit district. We didn't address that area because it's already an adopted parking management district in the city's policy. Now, within the colors, there's meters, there's and then places where people can park with a permit, a valid permit, both residents and employees. Any place that you see solid color is basically, for instance, the solid blue along 21st, 23rd is 3 hours or 90 minutes down there in the south, and you cannot use a permit to park in those areas. They're basically fine-tuned for businesses, and there's no permits allowed on those streets. If you go north of Pettigrove, still on 21st and 23rd, you'll see that it's blue, but it's signed 3 hours, no meters at this time. But again, no permits would be allowed on 21st, 23rd, north of Pettigrove. Now, there are some exceptions in the plan where we have block faces that are exclusively in a residential use. And the plan says on those block faces, those residents could park on permits there. But the basic idea is where you have high commercial activity, you do not allow permits to park. Then you go to the
clarify
sort of
there.
Pardon?
Presumably is in the rest of the city, handicap permits for people with disabilities can park at meters.
Absolutely.
As elsewhere.
Absolutely, Commissioner, yes. Then again, back to blue, sort of the angled lines, that is a metered area as well, but permits are allowed to be used at those meters. And then outside, you see the sort of spotted areas. Those are three-hour parking areas, signed 3 hours, and allowed permits to occupy those stalls. So it's a very small area of the district, if you think about it, where permits cannot be used. But the good thing is if you don't have a permit and you're in a permitted area, you're limited to 3 hours, which is calibrated to the work that DHM did for us in terms of customer need, and also then is truly a disincentive for commuters who might want to park in the district because they would not be allowed to have a permit to park longer than 3 hours.
And if I could just
please,
part of what the Commissioner Fritz will be making some amendments, but as the TMA is set up and the meters would go in under her amendment with in about 18 months, the TMA can make changes on the time stays and likely would, based on our experience in the Central East Side and Lloyd District and elsewhere. But that's something that they can work on over the next 18 months.
Correct. And then long-term, Mayor, in the plan, if I could add to that, the plan also calls through the TMA for routine and frequent occupancy and capacity studies throughout the year so that the TPMA and the city have good information about how the dynamics of parking are being affected by these changes. So that I call it recalibration, Mayor, is that it can be recalibrated as a result of that. Hours of operation are basically the current hours of operation. There was no decision to change those at this time. Again, that could be a decision of the TPMA and enforcement data and citation data and occupancy data. There is extended enforcement on event days, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a second as a sort of a revision to the existing event management plan in the district. And there are no meter fees or enforcement on Sundays unless there is a game.
Apologize. Just for the record, we do now charge on Sundays, so
in
this is different than the downtown.
Yeah, this is different than the downtown.
Right.
The only enforcement, again, on Sundays would be if there was an event at Geldwin. The type of meter and the pricing, the recommendation is to go with the pay stations that are currently in place in downtown, in the Lloyd, and now to come in the Central East Side. That format is a pay-and-display meter. And the recommended rate is to be that which is reflected currently in downtown on the Pearl, which is $1.16 an hour, which would be in effect at all meters during enforcement hours.
Is there a recommendation on the display being only valid in this district?
In terms of the ticket you would pull out of the machine,
yeah, I've recently counselor? Learned that if you buy a pay station in the Lloyd District, you can't use the remaining unexpired time of that downtown. Was that addressed at all in this plan?
It wasn't because we would think it would be the existing policy. Nolan is here so I can't answer that, but Nolan could.
That might
could,
be something that the Transportation Management Association would delve into, but I just wanted to mention that for the public at home because I was not aware that one could not, that they weren't transferable.
Okay. The permits themselves, there's two basic permits. There's a residential permit that any resident with an address in the boundary that you saw, the parking management boundary, would be eligible to purchase. They can purchase one for each vehicle they have. That's what's currently allowed under the code. The recommendation of the consultant team was that businesses would be allocated 85% of the number of employees, full-time employees that they have working for them. That number was derived, again, from the mode split data that we have for the area that currently indicates that 85% of employees drive alone to the district. But there may be an amendment to that. Zone K, that black area that I discussed to you, that I pointed out to you, remains unchanged. There is allowance in the plan that if they wanted to move into the TMA be blended into the district, that would be allowable, but Zone K is unchanged at this time. There's currently an agreement with Good Sam that allows their employees to park within specifically identified streets around Good Sam. The idea is that would remain in effect. We've already had discussions with internally on how enforcement staff would be able to identify a Good Sam employee from a business employee, but that's probably a detail that's it's easily worked out. It's just how to identify those cars so that we know that Good Sam employees are parking within that growth boundary. Use of the permits and the price of the permits. As I said earlier, permits are not allowed on Northwest 21st and 23rd during enforcement hours. And again, there are some exceptions on those block faces that are exclusively residential. The permits are $60 a year. That's the current that rate currently went that was recalibrated in July of this year, $60 for each residential permit and $60 for each additional permit that they are allowed to buy for additional vehicles that they have. There is a residential guest permit program, and residents would be able to buy coupon books, so to speak, of daily permits that they could then give to their visitors if their visitors are there during hours of enforcement. We do recommend that more discussion occur around limiting the number of permits that could be books that could be sold, because there could be a very much of a black market for these little coupon books if it's only a dollar a day to park in the district. And so there's more discussion that needs to occur on that. But a guest program is anticipated, and the city has structure to allow that to happen. On the business side, again, we were recommending 85% of business employees would be allowed to have a permit through their business. Those permits are also $60 a year. And businesses with multiple sites in the district could aggregate their permits at 85% and distribute them back out to their sites. So one site might have 100% and another site might have less. Daily passes for volunteers to the nonprofits and schools needs to be developed. That currently isn't a program that the city has, but the platform would be the residential guest program, so that program could be easily built. And so the recommendation is to pursue that so that volunteers would have guest passes.
Can I ask you about that daily passes for a second? Let's say that someone's eligible for a pass. Maybe they're volunteering in the school. They can't find parking in close proximity. So they're going to park, come into the building, get their pass, and come back. In the interim, they may very well have received a ticket. So how do you build in a grace period for people to pick up their pass?
Again, that would be a discussion with enforcement staff. They have ways of doing that now that are in place in current residential districts. And so I know that can be addressed, but it's a sensitivity that has to be.
OHSU has the same program, and they have spots that are 5 or 10 minutes, depending on how long it takes to get your pass.
Right. The off-street, and I know that's an issue with people. The plan calls that for existing off-street parking to support the right now, the plan that was adopted in 2009 specifies specific off-street lots in the district that would be allowed to transition to a more commercial use, thereby being open to general public access. There's a nuance in the code that says if a lot is accessory, the only people who can use it are those who are associated with a specific land use, an adjacent building or the building that the parking directly serves. The plan, the 2009 plan, limits the number of accessory lots that can transition to commercial. We're recommending in this plan that a more broader allowance for all off-street parking within the management zone be allowed to share their uses, so that not only is underutilized space off-street made available, but it's actually legal to do so. So we're asking that the accessory designation allowance in the 2009 plan be expanded to include more off-street facilities. New structured parking. The city supports new off-street parking. That was a very specifically negotiated and nuanced narrative within the Northwest District Plan. The mayor referred to it, and there's six parking sites now, six sites in the district now that allow for off-street structured parking, and the current 2009 plan caps the number of total new off-street structured parking spaces that are allowed in the district to 650 stalls. The city does not own or control any of the allowed sites. I'll show them to you now. They're the, I'm sorry they're so small, but you can see them here. 3, 4, 1, 2, 5, and 6. The city does not own any of these sites, but I think in discussions that we've heard among staff and with the mayor is that moving forward with adding parking to these sites is something that is allowed and supported within the plan, but it would be private sector initiated as to get there in the first phase. Event day parking. All we're saying in the plan is that there's just some minor adjustments to the existing Geldwin event plan need to be made. Currently, when the Geldwin plan goes into effect, it's a 90-minute restriction on parking in the district. Enforcement says that this is actually not easy to enforce. It's actually more efficient to enforce a two-hour time stay. So we're recommending that everything south of Irving during the Geldwin event, you'll see that's mostly three-hour parking now, that would be signed, and the signs go up, as you know, in advance of the events. That would be 2 hours parking limited during an event. There's an upgraded signage program that goes with that plan because there was comment and concern about the existing signage that's associated with the 90-minute restriction. There would be enhanced enforcement during events as a result of this plan, and enhanced above what's currently provided during Geldwin events. And the continuance of 1 hour before an event and 1 hour after the event when enforcement begins and end would remain in effect. But the biggest change is better signage and a two-hour restriction rather than a 90-minute restriction and the enhanced enforcement. The TPMA, what can a TPMA do? I think this plan is a TPMA is critical to this plan. TPMA is a forum where all the affected stakeholders in the district represented can get together and manage parking and TDM themselves. The TMA can really allow for self-governance in partnership with the city. And the plan is structured to allow that fact-finding, input gathering, and communications to revise the plan and change the plan over time.
Mayor Adams, could I get just a quick primer on the difference between nonprofit TPMA and what is proposed in this instance?
This is a city-sponsored TPMA that would be staffed by the city, would not be a separate nonprofit. They would have the ability to come back to council and seek nonprofit status in about,
I think it was 3 years.
3 years, three to five. 5 years. But this is a city-sponsored traffic management association. Unlike the Lloyd District, which is a
freestanding nonprofit.
Standing nonprofit.
Right. And there are TMAs of the nonprofit freestanding kind, Commissioner, both in the Lloyd District and Swan Island, South Waterfront, and now one is forming in the Central East Side. A TMA also, in the unique character of this district that has so many permits, the TMA can also be an effective forum for allocating and managing that permit program. So as issues come up about businesses not having enough passes or having too many passes, or even nuances and changes and tweaks that need to be made to the residential program, we believe that this type of forum is an effective way to do that. Also, as so much of the off-street supply in the district is owned by the private sector, the best way to share that parking is a business-to-business relationship. A TMA can be the liaison and the concierge between property owners and businesses to allow shared uses to occur. I think having it led from the community with community stakeholders is the best way to actually capture those shared use opportunities. But kudos to the mayor for those agreements that you said you've already gotten. A TPMA can also launch employee and residential demand management programs. This is more than just parking. TPMAs, traditionally, are also very focused on transitioning trips into other modes, bicycling, walking, and transit. And the TPMA is the best way to do that, from designing employee transit programs, designing residential transit programs, and finding areas to improve and encourage people to take an alternative form is where a TPMA can be very effective. As I mentioned earlier, monitoring the district in performance. One thing, parking is a very emotional issue, and the best thing about data is it helps you separate the myths from the realities, and it gives people an objective basis from which to begin their discussions. And the TPMA would be in the forefront of gathering that data and then making it available to the public. It can leverage resources and projects, both public and private. And then finally, the recommendation is that a revenue-sharing plan...
Move on. I've been calling it a TMA, a transportation management plan. What does the P stand for?
Parking.
That's
a great question, too, Commissioner. What's different about this TMA, although I know the one in Washington Park that's forming and the one in Central East Side that's forming, there's more focus on parking. The TMA in the Lloyd and in South Waterfront and in Swan Island, they really went into the business of commute trip reduction. And what's unique about these new TMAs is that they're getting very involved in the management of the parking in their district as well. So the P was sort of added to that.
Thank you.
The recommendation here is that a revenue sharing plan be developed and implemented. There's a city a policy already in a place for new meter districts that calls for a 51-49 net revenue sharing plan. That was just approved for the Central East side. That's what's in place in the Lloyd District, and the recommendation is that be also put in place in the Northwest District. Then being using the TPMA as a forum to establish district project priorities related to improving the transit conditions and the livability of the district, and then allocating those funding, that funding to those priorities through this revenue sharing plan. And just down below are some examples of what can be funded with meter revenues that are, these are examples from other districts that have these types of agreement. Incentive programs for transit, outreach and educational programs, events, underwriting and improving transit service to bring new service or new types of service to districts, subsidizing permit programs for low-income residents, employees, et cetera, buying and building and managing bicycle parking facilities, lighting and safety improvements, hanging baskets, pedestrian crossing improvements, et cetera. It's unlimited what can be done. It's really based on the consensus that can be derived through the TPMA on what are the issues in the district that needs to be solved, what's the priority for solving them, and then allocating the revenue to do it. So with that, we would be glad to take any questions.
I think we have Commissioner Fritz, you wanted to make some amendments for the purpose of additional discussion and public testimony. I recognize you.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, everybody, for being here today. It has been a very long process. I was on the Planning Commission from 1996 to 2003, and Northwest parking was an issue then. So I want us to bring a close to this current phase and have a way forward to a future phases of discussions and improvements, because as was mentioned in the presentation, there are a lot of people. I live in Southwest, and when I was talking about this with somebody in our checkout line earlier this week, he said, well, I don't go to Northwest because I can never find parking. That may be a perception rather than reality, and I've heard from many, many folks that in fact there's plenty of parking, but there are folks who don't go shop visit in Northwest because that's their feeling. And so what I'm proposing is a series of amendments, and I apologize that I do not have copies, so I'm going to run through each one of them and have had some posted on my website, but there are still some amendments because up until 5 to 3, I had read every single email that I had been sent in every letter, and I think at 2 o'clock, the mayor and I were still making amendments. So the first is an important one in the resolution, and that is that we are going to accept, under my proposal, we would accept the plan rather than adopting the plan. That's a nuance in planning speak and city council code speak, but adopting the plan means absolutely we're going to do it as written, and any amendments, any changes would need to come back to council for approval. What I'm proposing is that we accept it in concept as the framework for moving forward, but that changes could be made under a process which I'm proposing to make amendments to that, to the plan as written. It's already out of date. One of the recommendations in the plan says that we will have parking meters by February of 2013. Even if we wanted to, that's just physically not possible to get bid the contract, install them, and then happen. So adopting a plan that is already not possible to implement has some problems. And I believe that this approach might, one of my amendments, the amendment in the whereas clauses was the published resolution says that we need to ensure the implementation of the Northwest District Parking Plan. My amendment says to ensure public input, collaboration, and flexibility in the implementation of the Northwest District Parking Plan. And so it's appropriate to adopt a phased approach. So I'm also proposing to allow 100% of employees to be eligible for parking permits. The proposal recognized that not everybody drives now, and so that there was a proposed bartering system. For right now, it seems a lot easier that any employee that wants to buy a permit, which, as was mentioned, works out at about $5 a month, would be eligible to do so. And the city already has a permit program in many different districts, and I'd like to get some more information from our permit experts as to how that works. But in Lair Hill, in Homestead, in Sullivan's Gulch, near the Lloyd Center, there are permit programs. And we just, as was mentioned, recently implemented one in the Central East Side, where we heard concerns from KBOO about their volunteers. And so there are programs already in place. But that's one piece that I thought was too complex for right now, so and also unnecessary right now. The next change is to amend the map showing the permit district. The challenge with the permits is you're only eligible to buy one if you live within the boundary of the district. So the Class Academy was concerned that they were just outside the district, and so that their parking for volunteers and staff would be affected. And so a year or so ago, they asked that if it goes forward, that the Class Academy be included. And I recognize that there's a lot of folks who would like this plan not to move forward at all, and there's a lot of folks who have sent in a lot of input over the course of the last year. So my amendments were proposed based on everything that I have heard, and I'm open to folks telling me whether you agree with them or not. So I'm proposing that we amend the permit district and the meter district. Actually, the meters almost don't apply, but the whole thing is one district, to include the Class Academy. This is an amendment. This is the one that we did at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Residents on, and I don't have that here. I need to get that amendment. The dead ends that are near McClay Park. Catch has got it. Also, I received an email from a resident there pointing out that if there are a few nearby streets that aren't up the hill, that aren't in the permit district, they can't buy a permit, and yet they're going to be swamped. And indeed, by McClay Park, it's already very difficult to park. So thank you very much, Katja. So that would be including the dead ends of Northwest Xavier and Raleigh from 29th to the dead end, and 29th from Raleigh to Quimby from 29th to 30th. So I'll get that printed up as an amendment, as well as 30th to the dead end to the west and the intersection with Northwest Cornell on the east. It's essentially making whole the district. The most important amendment is that be it further resolved that the City of Portland accept the Northwest District Parking Management Plan final draft report as amended rather than adopt. And that gives the flexibility to move forward. And then be it further resolved that the Bureau of Transportation is directed to implement programs for permit parking recommended by the Northwest Parking Plan and work with the TMA in a manner consistent with the phasing plan, which is in Exhibit C as adopted binding city policy. So that's the important part. A resolution sometimes is aspirational. Ordinances are mandatory. By adding this language about binding city policy, it makes that the phasing plan that I've been proposing, which I'll go into in a moment, it makes that binding city policy. So the way that the Transportation Management Association would operate, the way that decisions will be made moving forward. And as you'll hear in a moment, the proposal I have is for a three-phase. So the first phase and the second phase, at the end of that time frame, starting with a limited permit expansion, the Transportation Management Association will be required to come back to give a report, first to the Bureau of Transportation Director, who will then send it to the Commissioner in Charge, who will then send it to the entire Council. And if any two members of Council want to hold a public hearing on the recommendations of the TMA, then that public hearing will happen. And that happens again at the end of Phase 2 before Phase 3. And under my proposal, Phase 3 is the metering plan. So there are for those who said that this Council should not make the decision that we should delay any action until the next Council in 2013, there are going to be two more opportunities to amend things before the meter district goes in, and indeed to make swift changes should either of the first two phases not work out. So that would be a binding city policy. In the ordinance, as I said, the ordinance usually is more intensive, but in this particular case, the ordinance is as written, except for substituting Exhibit A and requiring that the parking meter program be done according consistent with Exhibit A. So Exhibit A, which is the next one in everybody's packet, this is the phasing of the parking plan. So, and this again would be binding city policy, that immediately following the plan adoption, we would request applications for appointment to the TMA. And we would begin the process of establishing the TMA. So the mayor will be asking, should this pass next week? And we're not going to be voting today. So again, I'll take more testimony. I'll be reading all my emails. Immediately following the plan adoption, we ask for applications, and the mayor or Mayor Harrells will establish the Transportation Management Association. And then within 6 months of the plan adoption, we would implement a permit program as recommended in the Northwest Parking Plan, but only for the areas south of Lovejoy and west of 18th. So the three-hour permit program, essentially an expansion of Zone L in some ways, according to the recommended plan, south of Lovejoy and west of 18th. I have heard a lot of testimony about why west of 25th, and the concern is that with a phased implementation or even with any implementation that there will be displacements of parking. So even if there isn't currently a problem on 25th, west of 25th, there may be, and so that was the reason for that choice. Within 6 months following the establishment of the TMA, the TMA will issue a report to the PBOT director, including evaluation of phase one and recommendations on implementing the second phase of the permit program. The PBOT director distributes the phase one evaluation and recommendation for phase two report to the city council. At the request of two or more council members, a public hearing will be held to review the TMA's recommendation and potentially amend the next phase. So that's the next decision point, and that's the next opportunity for there to be a public hearing before council in 2013. If the TMA is unable to reach agreement on implementing the next phase of the permit program, the PBOT director will notify the council of his or her intent to implement the remainder of the permit program as recommended in the adopted Northwest Parking Plan. Still, at the request of two or more council members, a public hearing will be held to review and potentially amend the next phase. So there's a great incentive for the members of the TMA to work together to come to a recommendation. If there is stalemate and within the 6 months, the council could move forward after holding a public hearing, or the PBOT director could move forward with what's currently in the plan. But again, that's subject to all the next council taking public input and responding to it, which I know that will happen. Within 12 months of the plan adoption, we would implement the second phase of permit program incorporating the TMA's recommendations. So that would be the rest of the parking of the district as outlined in the map as amended. And then within 18 months of plan adoption, the TMA would issue a report with its phase two evaluation and its recommendation for the phase three to the PBOT director that includes recommendations on implementing paid parking. It's at that point that I would expect the TMA would make recommendations other than three-hour parking on the specified areas. But if that's what everybody decides you want to go forward with, then that would be the recommendation. At that point, the PBOT director will distribute the phase two evaluation and recommendation for phase three to the city council. At the request of two or more members of the council, a public hearing will be held to review and potentially amend the paid parking plan. So to those who saw the recommended plan as published in February and saw the February 13 meters are going right ahead, that's not the case. There would be two phases before that with two opportunities for public input. And at that point, the paid parking incorporating the TMA recommendations could be implemented. And again, the same clause, if the TMA is unable to reach agreement, then the PBOT director can notify the council of his or her intent to implement the pay stations, and at the request of two or more council members, a public hearing will be held to potentially amend the paid parking plan. So there's a lot of checks and balances in my proposed amendments and a lot more opportunity for public testimony. I'm also proposing a substitute to Exhibit B, which is the Transportation Management Association Organizational Framework. Although I don't think that there was an Exhibit B that was actually attached to the published ordinance. But Mayor, did you want to introduce the issue of the membership of the TMA?
Yeah, it's our goal to establish a TMA that is balanced. And so the amendment for 3.2 board membership is to have 8, and we will be asking for applications. We'll be looking for folks that are solutions or solution-oriented. So 8 representatives representing the interests and concerns of residents, including 6 at-large, a resident accessibility advocate, a bike pedestrian advocate that makes up those 8. In terms of businesses and institutions, we would have 4 at-large, and then have 2 education institution representatives, including 1 from a public school, 1 from a private school, hospital representative, and then a nonprofit, which can also include a church organization to make up that 8. We have Hillside Neighborhood has 1 seat, and then there is a chair that's appointed as well. So that creates a balance of 8 and 8, and then a chair and the Hillside Neighborhood. So that's our amendment there.
Mayor, can I just seek a clarification on that?
Yep.
When you use the term at-large residents or at-large business, why are you using that modifier? Because sometimes we think of it as the difference between citywide and district-wide, but these are all district-wide, correct?
Correct.
So, and we're calling them at-large simply to distinguish from being representatives of any particular coalition or organization?
Correct. Yeah. So we're looking for folks, for example, the 6 at-large, but within the district boundaries, who would represent geographically the district. There are also sort of other shadings or factors that would be looking for. At-large businesses, in addition to education, hospital, nonprofits, of the 4, you know, I'll be looking for a combination of property owners, businesses that don't own their property, but they're business, folks with parking, without parking, looking for that diversity within the business at-large positions as well. But at-large does not mean citywide. It means within the boundaries of the parking district. Thank you for the question.
And there are also 5 non-voting members, which is the Bureau of Transportation, Portland Streetcar Inc., TriMet, Portland Public Schools, the overall entity, and Venture Portland, that formerly known as the Association of Portland Neighborhood Business Associations.
Just one other question. Forgive my ignorance on this. Does the once you make a determination as the commissioner in charge of PBOT, do they come to council?
Yeah, so we'll be sooner than later getting out applications that we would move on if this is approved by council. Then as Transportation Commissioner, I or future Transportation Commissioner will nominate and council will confirm.
The board members will be asked to serve for 3-year terms and they could be reappointed for 1 additional term. And the initial appointees will serve staggered terms of 1, 2, or 3 years duration so that there's ongoing participation and also ongoing turnover of the Transportation Management Association. The commissioner in charge of the Bureau of Transportation may remove a board member from office based on discretion or at the request of the organization that nominated the member. The Transportation Management Association shall be empowered to advise the city on all matters related to the management of transportation and parking within the district. The TMA shall collaborate with the Northwest District Association and the Knob Hill Business Association, and through the TMA's membership, facilitate communication to determine appropriate priorities for action. Pay station revenue may assist in funding the TMA's projects, programs, and activities consistent with city policy and the organization's mission and objectives, if approved by the commissioner in charge of PBOT after first notifying members of council. So that refers back to the process again. And the responsibilities of the TMA will be to advise the city regarding priorities for funding projects and programs, monitor the TMA's budget, revenues, and expenditures, and report on the budget and accomplishments to the city on an annual basis, implement transportation demand and management programs upon approval by the commissioner in charge after notifying the city council. So again, the way that it was conceived in the plan was that the TMA would be set up more like the Lloyd District as an independent entity. This TMA is proposed to have a lot of dialogue with council and with the community to make sure that we all are more unified moving forward and to promote that. And it will facilitate, where possible, the use of off-street parking and report to the PBOT director, commissioner in charge, and council, evaluating each phase of the parking plan's implementation and advising on when and whether to implement the next phase. And we have the previous language on proposal of the chair, et cetera. And the quorum's proposed to be 10, so the voting membership is 18 with a membership of 10. And there is a simple majority set up for the recommendations of the TMA. Again, those recommendations go through the PBOT director, the commissioner in charge, and potentially the council.